Time now to speak to one of the absolute greats of Aussie basketball. Of course, the coach of the Illawarra Hawks and the Boomers. His name is Brian Gorgeous. Brian, good morning to you, mate.
Good morning.
Oh, mate, great to have you on board this morning. Nice start for you guys on the weekend as well. Take us through it. We don't love the result because we're firmly behind the 36ers, but you'd be pleased nonetheless.
No, definitely pleased. I mean, COVID throws a lot of spanners at you in preparation, and it same with Adelaide. I mean, the fact that they had to go to Perth, fly back in the middle of the night, roll in the afternoon. I did that last year. That's a tough call, especially your first home game with a big crowd there. So a tough lead-in for them. And for us, you know, preparation. You know, we did a lot of practice, but no games. The two blitz games were canceled leading into the first game. So I did have concerns going into the game just about how we would, the rotations, how guys would play together in competition. And we were patchy offensively, but to hold them to 71 points was the difference in the game.
Just broadly, you just touched on it, Brian. Look, the preparations and everything, can you get used to, I suppose, can you, I mean, it's the slogan, isn't it? Expect the unexpected. But, I mean, can, as professional athletes, can you get used to uncertainty? Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. And it's a great point. And I've been doing this, I guess, leaving China, putting our hands in and saying, you know, see after Chinese New Year in 5 days, and then I'm in Australia, it's all finished. Roll into this. Said from the time I started here, it was last year, new organization, COVID, the Boomers dealing with COVID. That was our number one focus. If we're not winning, if we can't handle this. And what you said, expect the unexpected. And no excuses. The team that rolls with it the best and handles it the best is going to do the best. So, after the game's over in Adelaide, expect you may end up staying there. You could end up there for a week. A call anytime. Get on a plane and go. But this is the test that takes place now, whether you're in the NBL or it's international or the NBA, it's part of it.
A lot of people this year tipping Illawarra to be right up there. Again, obviously, terrific season last year, going close to getting to the grand final. Where does the improvement come from to take that next step, do you think, from this group?
Well, the winning's in the picking, and I just think if you go back in the history of this organization, they've had good seasons, but they've been plucked. They have a good season, and you take their two best players, Mitch Norton, Nick Kay, off to Perth. You know, it's the symbol of what's gone on here. So the big test for us, season finishes, can we retain Tyler Harvey? Can we keep Sam Frawley? We kept our youth. We kept the first-team All-League player, and we signed an international player. So that was huge in us being respected coming into this season. Now we've got to perform, but we've definitely upgraded our roster from last year, and that's been very difficult. For this organization, and the focus has been, last year we got by with the culture and the defense, and we know we're going to be better offensively, but can we keep that with this new group? And again, the game against Adelaide was a good sign in the fact we weren't brilliant offensively, but we did bunker down on the D and hold them to 71.
So how was the half-a-time address then? Because it opened up pretty well after that with 13 straight points. Did you just raise the voice slightly at half-time? Was it nice, cool, calm address? Because it came out firing after that.
A lot less of the smashing the clipboard. Maybe I've gotten older, but procedure and process. Hey, slow start. We found our feet. Really good job the last 6 minutes of the first half. I think we were on a 7 or 9 or 11-0 run to finish the half. And just continue. We're finding our way. Just continue with the defense. We flipped a little zone on them that helped us, and we talked about some adjustments there. And just keep moving forward.
Kings on Saturday. And I know, Brian, a win is a win, but there's some teams that you probably enjoy just a little bit more beating, if you know what I mean.
I do. I think it's fantastic. I mean, we're developing a rivalry, and you know, I walked into, I haven't been to Adelaide for a long time, and it just, you know, the great times in sport where, you know, you go down there and Boddy Nagy has got the paper, you know, humming, and Phil Smyth waiting for you with Brooks and Marr and, you know, Darnell me. And those games are electric in there. Some of the best games, and they were losses, a lot of them. They beat us twice for championships. But some of the best games I've been involved in are rivalries like that. And we're building that with Sydney. There's a lot of shit going on off the court that the stuff on the court, we developed it last year. We had some real close games. We fought for that top four position to the last game of the season. And there's a lot of angst coming into this year.
I love that. So you've been back a couple of years now, Brian. Where do you see the shape of the league at the moment? I mean, the fans are flocking. It seems like a great product. Is the NBL as good as it's ever been?
It's you know, and I just named those names. That and I always, you know, because we go back, I go back to the 90s, the 80s, and, you know, Al Green, you know, you look at that Adelaide team and you look at the imports they had back there. You look at Mark Davis, Mike Mackay, Scott Ninnis. I mean, I just think that when you talk about what's a better product, the thing with this is now, I just think the international, Larry Kesselman's done a great job with the international side of it. You got kids from France. You got kids from Spain. You got the best player in China. You got the NBA involved and interested in this. And he's promoted it. So I think the competition's always been good. It's very good now, but there's an international flavor and there's a world. You know, this thing used to be a closed shop and you're dealing with football and cricket. Now, you know, China, the Philippines, Japan, the USA, we're starting to exploit the fact we're not just Australian, we're world. And Larry's done a great job of that.
That's fantastic. It's fun to watch. I know from a 36ers point of view, the games there at the Entertainment Centre are just absolutely brilliant. So kids love it, the adults love it, so it's a really, really good, nice bit of entertainment. Mate, it's a long time ago now, but congratulations with the Olympic Games and everything. From a Boomer's point of view, we love Josh Giddey. We claim him as a South Australian, even though he's here for 5 minutes. did you expect him, and I know that he had some involvement with the Boomers leading up to the Olympics, did you expect him to be this good this early in his NBA career?
No. No, I no disrespect to him. It's just he's a marvel, really. You know, I know he didn't make the national team, but there was I had a 4-day selection process, and he was highly involved in, you know, the draft. And it was bad timing. But when you saw him, you go, this is definitely an NBA player, and he's got a bright future. But two things, when you think back to Adelaide, and you got an 18- or 19-year-old kid, and the ball's in his hand, and really that team last year was competitive for the four when he's on the floor. When he's not on the floor, they were nowhere near the same team. And I've never seen a kid of that age, other than Andrew Gaze, have that kind of impact on a team. And now he comes to Oklahoma City, and same deal. They put the ball in his hand, and he's in a perfect spot, perfect situation, and taking the league by storm. And it is ahead of what that I thought was going to take place. He's ahead.
Another Aussie who's not in the perfect space and perfect situation at the minute over there is Ben Simmons. Now, there was so much talk about the Boomers, why he wasn't coming into camp, why he didn't play in the Olympics. What are your thoughts on Ben Simmons at the moment? We spoke to Phil Smyth last week, who seemed to think that being in the environment of the Boomers could be the best thing for him in terms of the brotherhood and the camaraderie that they have there. Do you think we're going to welcome Ben Simmons back to the Boomers soon?
Well, definitely. And, you know, Phil's spot on there. And that's, I really didn't recruit Ben. I said exactly what Phil said. I said to him, we're here for you, open arms. You know, you've had some situations at Philly with your teammates, with the coach, with the organization. You come here, we'll welcome you with open arms. And I think you're going to love the environment. It's your call. And it just, I think it was something that he was into. I just think it was horrible timing. You know, you got the situation of he's never played for me. You've got all new teammates. He's just come off what he's come off. And now you're going into the international forum where they're going to play him in a way that is really difficult and takes a lot of adjusting. You know, pick him up full court, lag off him with the rules. Anytime he comes into the paint, hack him, put him on the foul line. I just thought for all of that, bad timing for him. But he was classy with the way he handled it. And I just hope right now he finds a team, finds a place where he's comfortable and gets to go on with his career.
Absolutely. We hope he finds a team so we can just watch him play basketball. We're fans. Correct. At the end of the day. We just want to see him do well. Can you explain that the camaraderie within the Boomers and just what it's like from the outside looking in? And as Australians, the Boomers, they're up there for one of our absolute favourite teams. And it was just so nice to see basically a bunch of men celebrating a bronze medal like they just won a gold medal. It was so fun.
It's really hard to do it justice. And for me, a unique situation of being with Patty and Joe when they're 18, 19 years old and coming back, having nothing to do with them for 12, 13 years, coming back when they're 33 years old, and it's their team and where they'd taken it. I just, when we're in the elevator after the game finished and we got the medal, Patty looked me in the eyes in the elevator when we were going up to the press conference, and I told you, this thing is special, and it's not something that you can talk about. You got to be in it and you got to see it. And the best thing I can say about it, it was special. And those guys did a great job of three things. The future of the Boomers, the finger the singlet, hand it to the next guy, make it a better situation than the one it is now. That's your responsibility, Matisse Thybulle, Josh Giddey, Josh Green. The present, the now, gold vibes only. Let's go get that medal. And what he did with the past that the basketball hasn't done a great job of Ken Cole, Lindsey Gaze, that era, those people, all the people that have been there before, Andrew Gaze, Brad Key, honoring them. And it was an amazing culture night that they did such a great job of those three things.
Just a word as well. We've got a text coming through from Lockie just asking about Matisse Thybulle and his impact and character from the outside looking in, particularly in the Olympics. There's a lot to like about that young man.
Yeah, I mean, he captures your heart. You know, he brought so much to the team with this thing that we're talking about, the culture and the love of the game in a bright, fresh excitement. And I guess, you know, as an Australian viewer, it's a piece that the national teams never had. Him and Dante, long wings that are athletic and that can change the game defensively. And you look at the past and you look at, you know, Brad, since my time, Longley, Brad Key, Blahov, Gaze, those two pieces never existed. And they enabled us to play a style of basketball defensively that Australia's never played before. And wonderful teammates. And I think that came through. And I felt like those two made it, that the culture, Patty and Joe led it, but the culture was visual. And they were very, very special and different to the Boomers of the past.
So have you spoken to Dante Exum recently? We hear his NBA contract unfortunately been waived, and it looks like he's heading to Barcelona.
Yeah, I mean, I spoke to Dante, and I have tried to keep in touch with the Boomers overseas during this time, because if the culture was special, and I hope we communicate for life and just following their careers. And disappointment on the Houston situation, but was in a process of filtering what next. And that was where I left it with him. And like you, just found out, you know, he's got something going on in Europe to get back into the NBA. But there's no doubt in my mind, he's that caliber. And he was healthy.
Yeah, and he showed that in the Olympics. We thought that was a nice audition for NBA sides to go, actually, no, absolutely, he can play. It's just that non-guaranteed contract. We thought that there's so much guaranteed money in the NBA, he just couldn't snag that absolute lockdown contract.
And that was a big deal that I really loved about the Boomers, when the finish that all those guys with the success of the Boomers got their piece of pie outside of the Boomers. You know, Jock Landale, Josh Giddey, Matisse Todd, all of them that were seeking, Patty Mills, Joey, all of them that were seeking something got what they wanted.
Mm, absolutely. Hey, Brian, absolute pleasure to talk to you this morning, mates. Hopefully we can do it all again really soon. And once again, I know it's a bit late, but congratulations with the Olympics and best of luck against the Kings this weekend.
Thank you.
Brian Gorgian, join us this morning. And geez, that'd be fun, wouldn't it? I mean, you talk about celebrations and things like that, but imagine being in the rooms and being involved when Patty Mills is screaming Land Down Under, champagne is flowing, the beers are on ice. That would be a special spot with a bronze medal around the neck.
Yes, yes. You'd pay a large sum of money to be involved in that sort of celebration, wouldn't you? The champagne goggles on and, the stories that would be told after it. And he's a coach that you'd want to play for,
yes.
Brian Gorgian, isn't he?
Yep.
He just has the passion. He invests everything into his players. You hear him talking about Dante Exum there. He wants to keep the communication going between all those players internationally. It'd be easy to just drop off and let those players go and not speak to them for months, but obviously wants to keep that connection up. So that's one of the reasons why he's been one of the best for a long time.